The sec man reluctantly nodded and took a step back. Mildred then cut away what was left of the man's pant leg and gasped audibly at what she saw.
What? Is it bad?
No, he'll be fine.
The sec man left the nursery a moment to inform the other sec men milling about in the hall. Christy tied off the man's leg with a tourniquet, and Mildred gently pulled out the leaf-bladed throwing knife.
Well, either Ryan has done the impossible and finally learned how to throw one of these knives, or a certain teenage albino has just sent us his calling card.
Ryan shivered in the cold water of the tower. He'd been hidden for hours, listening to sec men come and go around him, most of them eager to chill him and collect the big jack being offered by the Baron. But for all their efforts, they hadn't once tried looking in the water tower. There had been a few close calls, with sec men hanging around the base of the tower awaiting new orders, but Ryan had remained still, making no sound, and eventually the sec men were sent to some far corner of the farm. And then, 20 minutes earlier, there had been some action. Judging by what he'd heard, Ryan figured that a sec man had been wounded on patrol. They were crediting Ryan with the deed, but that only made him smile. Ryan knew that it meant his friends were at work, either on the inside creating a diversion, or on the outside preparing to break them out. It had been quiet around the base of the water tower for the past 10 minutes, and if Ryan was going to get out of the tower before dark, now was the time to do it. After the sec men had been wounded, the bulk of the sec force had hurried to the western fence looking for him, leaving only a shadow force around the main complex. If he could make it to the slaves' quarters unnoticed, then he could spend the rest of the day there, in warmth and comfort, waiting for dark. Ryan lifted himself up to the top of the water tank and took a look over the rim. In the distance, he could see the other sec men patrolling the fence and searching the trees. There were a few sec men closer in, but they were headed west to join the search with the others. Ryan turned to scan the eastern stretch of the farm and spotted a pair of sec men walking the fence, looking more as if they were patrolling rather than searching. One last quick look around, and Ryan was convinced that it was time to move. He lifted himself over the top of the tower and climbed down the ladder to the ground. His clothes had left a wet trail down the side of the tower and on the ground beneath his feet, but with any luck, the midday sun would dry any tracks he left behind. The slaves' quarters were about 50 yards away, across a stretch of fine tan-brown dirt. To the left were patches of grass and weeds that would cover his trail, but would add another 25 yards to the distance he had to travel. He decided it was better to hide his tracks. But instead of running, Ryan walked slowly, almost casually, as if he too were looking for the one-eyed outlander. He slipped off his eye patch to complete the picture. Hopefully, if anyone saw him from a distance, he would look like just another sec man out on patrol. He was halfway to the closest cabin when he heard voices shouting loudly.
Do you see him? I think so.
Ryan wanted to run or dive for cover, but he was out in the open. He heard no more voices, and he thought that he'd be hearing blaster fire at any moment, but no one fired a shot. He took another look and saw some sec men standing near the main building. They were pointing at something out past the main gate.
That's a mutie, you triple stoop bastard!
It could have been the one eye.
Yeah, and I'm Baron Fox.
Ryan picked up the pace slightly and reached the cabin without further incident. He put his hand on the doorknob and turned it. It was unlocked. Without another moment's hesitation, he opened the door and slipped inside. He took a look around the cabin and found that it was little more than a single room, with a bed set against one wall and wash and toilet facilities against the other. He picked out a comfortable spot near the door and sat on the floor. He slipped his eye patch back on, then tried to rub out the cold ache the water had left in his legs, but his joints and muscles were still stiff and would need more time to recover. Luckily, several hours remained before darkness fell, giving him enough time to rest and recover. Norman Bauer sat in his personal office, looking through his ledger book absentmindedly. Normally, he was extremely efficient in doing his job of maintaining the breeder quotas, but lately his mind had begun to wander. It wasn't that he was having second thoughts about his job as the Baron's right-hand man. On the contrary, what was happening at Fox Farm was very good for him. As long as the slaves kept rutting and babies were born for Trader Jack, he was leading the high life. But he started hearing rumors that the one-eyed outlander, who had escaped the clutches of the normally competent sec chief Grunwald, was instigating a rebellion at the farm. And this was not good. Perhaps the Baron's intuition about the Outlander was more accurate than Bauer gave him credit for. But what was he going to do about it? If there would be a rebellion, most likely Baron Fox and his forces would lose. The odds were stacked too much against them, what with the populace outnumbering the Sec forces 10-1. And add to the fact that this Outlander seemed to be a natural leader. Anyone who could chill two hard cases like Purvis and Mog with his bare hands was a definite threat. No, it seemed that the status quo at Fox Farm was about to change, and Bauer had better change along with it if he was going to survive. It was time for him to step out of the shadow of Baron Fox and assume a larger role. At least until the Outlander was gone, and he could get back to running this place as normal, as the new Baron. Bauer summoned a Secman.
Guard!
The Secman entered and saluted. Bauer didn't recognize the man. He was in a standard Sec uniform, but he was also uniquely distinguished by a hat and glasses. Bauer didn't recall any of the Sec force wearing hats or glasses. Oh well, it wasn't important.
This whole farm is going to hell. That Outlander's going to give us more problems than we know what to do with, and that crazy-ass Baron isn't doing shit about it. So I will. Go tell Fillinger to get 30 of the best Sec men and have them report to me. Don't let Grunwald know what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
When someone had finally entered the cabin, Ryan quickly had the person overpowered, but just as quickly eased off once he realized that it was the red-haired girl he had met before. She gave him the news that she had been spreading around what he'd told her to.
So it's happening tonight.
Ryan still wondered if the youth could be trusted, but realized that if she were really loyal to the Baron, she could have turned him in hours ago.
Some people will be coming to get me and my friends.
What people?
Other Outlanders.
You're planning an escape?
Yeah.
Can I come with you?
I won't be taking anyone with me, but you'll be free to leave if you have the chance.
And what can I do to help you?
I need you to let my friends know where I am.
Sure. Where are your friends now?
One's a healer working in the nursery. The other is the redhead, and she's staying in the visitor's quarters.
I think I can get to the nursery without any trouble.
Good. You know, I never asked you your name.
It's Deborah.
All right then, Deborah. Here's what you need to tell her when you get there.
JB sat on the hood of the wag, wiping down his Uzi. The 50 calibers and the cannon were in as good working order as he could manage. The wag was running better now, too, but it was clear that one or more of its 8 cylinders was dead, and there was no guarantee it would be running long enough to get them all out of the farm complex. They'd get in on the back of the wag, but getting out might just have to be done on foot. Just then, Doc called out to him.
I believe Jack and young Dean are returning from their wreck.
Are they alone?
I'm afraid not. Jack seems to have picked up a wild hare or some sort of squirrel.
JB jumped down off the wag to meet the two youths.
There's something happening on the farm. There's Sec men all over, but Jack sent a message to Dad. Man, what a message.
The information was coming too fast, and with too much noise for JB's liking. He waved his right hand at the boy to cut off his words, and turned to Jack.
What happened?
Slaves all inside. Outside looks someone escaped. Maybe Ryan, maybe not. Sec men on triple red. Stuck Sec men in leg with knife. Send message to Mildred. No mistake. Tonight, be ready.
JB nodded.
I could have told you all that.
I know, but I wanted the facts first.
Quite often, young Mr. Corder, someone's life will depend on the rapid exchange of information. Although we have got plenty of time to go before sundown, it's still a good rule to obey.
Look who's talking. All right, I'll make a note of it for next time.
JB put a hand on the boy's shoulder.
Come on, you can tell me all about it while Jack puts those squirrels on the spit.
Dean's face lit up in excitement.
Okay. Well, there was only a 6-inch gap in the fence, and Jack was going to throw one of his leaf-bladed throwing knives through it and try to hit a Sec man, and I thought, there's no way he was...
Deborah returned to her cabin an hour later.
Did you find Mildred or Christie?
I found both of them in the nursery.
Did either one of them tell you anything?
They sure did. Mildred said to tell you they were healing a Sec man who the one-eyed Outlander cut with a leaf-bladed throwing knife.
Ryan was confused for a moment, then understood that Jack was somewhere close by.
And the red-haired woman wanted me to give you something.
She pulled Ryan's Sig Sauer and 2 full clips from beneath her dress.
She said you'd know what to do with it.
Ryan took the blaster in his hand, quickly checked it over to see that it was in good working order, and then stuffed the clips into his pockets.
Did she say anything else?
Yes, she said. See you after dark, lover.
After dutifully carrying out Bauer's orders,